Good morning. Christ the Lord is risen today, and we welcome you to our sunrise service, an annual service that we've had here for well over 25, at least since I've been here, over 25 years. We are inside this morning. We anticipated that there would be some weather, and we trust that you will join with Brother Vance. He's going to bring a message here in just a moment. Just a couple of announcements. First of all, I believe Mike has sent an email with Easter music. Please take the time to listen to that music this morning. Also, Mrs. Gaines, this is Deborah Harris's mother, is in the hospital in Farmville with congestive heart failure, so please remember her in your prayers this morning and the Harris family. And also, Stephanie wanted me to remind you ladies that this coming Tuesday evening, there will be another ladies' Bible study. She will send out an invitation so that you folks can join in. Let's have a word of prayer, and then Brother Vance will bring the message this morning. Father, indeed it is wonderful that as believers we have the hope of the resurrection because Jesus died on a cruel cross, was buried because he died, and then rose again the third day. We, too, if in this life only we have this hope, we are of all men, as Paul said, the most miserable. So, Lord Jesus, we know that this is the truth of the Word of God direct from you, and we thank you that you were obedient to your Father. You took upon yourself the wrath that was rightly deserved for unrepentant sinners, for all sinners. And so this morning, guide us as we look into the Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Vance.
Good morning. It is good to be back here. On this Easter morning, we're going to be opening the Word of God this morning to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be looking at some truths from the message that Peter preached there in Acts chapter 2. As I began to think about and to prepare for speaking this morning, I was amazed at how much the truth of the resurrection of Christ occupied the early preaching and teaching of the apostles. It was the very substance of which they would teach and preach that we see recorded for us in the book of Acts and also in the New Testament. And one of the very first sermons that we see in the early church is here in Acts chapter 2. You may remember that in this passage, as the Holy Spirit fell on the people on the day of Pentecost, and they began to speak in tongues. And some of those that heard began to mock the people and to ridicule them and to say they are filled with new wine, meaning they were inebriated, they were drunk. And at that point, the Apostle Peter stood and he began to preach. And he proclaimed that those speaking in tongues were not drunk, but rather they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Peter then began to recount the promises from the Old Testament scriptures concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit and also the resurrection of Jesus. And as Peter began to speak, he quoted from the Old Testament minor prophet Joel and verses also from the Psalms to support his point. And listen to what Peter says in Acts 2, starting in verse 22. It says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Again, in this very first sermon of Peter recorded for us in Acts, on the day of Pentecost, it is all about the risen Lord Jesus. This is such a very interesting, yet a very vivid metaphor and illustration that Peter uses in these verses. The language of pangs, excuse me, of pangs here in verse 24 is actually the word used to describe a woman in labor as she births a child. So the image is that just as when a woman is facing the pain of labor, she cannot hold back the child to keep it from being born, so death could not hold back the resurrection of Jesus on the third day. And as Peter continues in verse 25 here in Acts 2, he quotes from Psalm 16. And he says, David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Peter continues on, and he goes on to say that this cannot be talking about David. David was dead, and his body had decayed and decomposed. Therefore, this psalm must be a prophetic psalm. Though this psalm was written by David, it was written about the Son of God in human flesh. It was written about Christ. He is the Holy One. He is the Messiah who was not abandoned to Hades and who did not see corruption. Why did his body not see corruption? It did not decay or decompose. There was no time for that process to happen, for he was raised from death to life on the third day. And now he lives at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. And what a glorious truth that is that we celebrate today. This morning I want to draw your attention to the wording in these verses from the quotation of Psalm 16. Notice the phrases that are used here. My heart was glad. My tongue rejoiced. My flesh will also dwell in hope. You make known to me the path of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Gladness, rejoicing, life, hope. All of these good things that are rich and are passionate declarations of the heart. And in the direct context of these verses, there's no doubt that these are to be seen on the lips of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gladness and rejoicing here that speaks of the intimacy of the relationship with his Father. After the forsakenness of the Son by the Father on the cross, the Son would be raised to life, being vindicated by the Spirit because of his perfect, sinless life of obedience and sacrifice. The soul of Christ dwelt in hope, for he knew of his resurrection. He knew that though for a time he would be forsaken by the Father, he would be raised to life. Although he was the sinless one, who would be made to be sin for those who would repent and believe. And the Father would place the sins of the whole world onto the Son and would crush him in order to satisfy his own just wrath. The Son knew that was not the end of the story. Though he was forsaken, he would not be abandoned, as the Psalm says. In fact, his body would not even see corruption or decay. And as the Son is raised to life, the Psalm says that God will make him full of gladness with his presence. The full, unhindered, untainted fellowship in a relationship with perfect love with the Father that they had enjoyed from eternity past as the Son ascended to the right hand of the Father. As this psalm tells us about the resurrection of Christ, Scripture also tells us that Christ's resurrection is the first fruits of the believer's resurrection. Christ's resurrection is the resurrection by which the resurrection of the rest of believers will be patterned. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." 1 John tells us, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." And so, knowing that this resurrection of Christ is the pattern of the resurrection to life for all who would repent of their sin and place their faith in Christ, we can once again revisit what we see written in Psalm 16. Knowing that through our faith in Christ, though our bodies may well see corruption for a time, we also will not be abandoned to Hades. We, like Christ, have true hope that our flesh will dwell with God forever. We do not look forward to having a mere unembodied soul. We will have a glorified, resurrected body forever. Like Christ, our hearts will be glad and our tongue shall rejoice in the presence of our God forever. We shall be full of gladness with the presence of God forever, without the possibility or the presence of sin. The very one that we love and we adore, the very one that we have spent our whole lives seeking to serve and to obey, we will finally be with in perfect relationship. This is the focus of what John writes and records for us in the book of Revelation. In chapter 21, he writes this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying," and listen to this part, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." What a great and glorious promise. And in verse 4, John continues and says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And the focus of this passage is not on primarily the lack of tears or lack of death or mourning or crying or pain. But rather the focus of this passage is on the abundance and the fullness of the presence of the one who takes all of those things away. We will be with him. In this we hope. As we celebrate this day of resurrection, the resurrection of Christ Jesus, our Lord, may we do so reflecting on what has been done for us in the bearing of the penalty of sin and in the resurrection to life on the third day. And may we also look forward to the promise of our resurrection because of his resurrection. We go forth not necessarily knowing what we may face. We look at the year 2020 so far and see all that has happened that we did not foresee coming. And some very serious things have happened. And though they are serious, they are not final. We may not know what we will face in the future, but we do know the God who is sovereign and who reigns over all things. And we place our hope and our joy in the day when, just as our Savior was resurrected, we will be as well. And we will spend eternity with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning where we can come early and we can celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, raised to life, who has now ascended and now makes intercession for us and will return again to reign forever. Father, I pray that we would this morning reflect, we would think, we would ponder the events that took place as the Son of God in human flesh was crucified, dead, buried, and rose to new life. Father, we thank you for this great promise we have that just as Christ was resurrected, so shall we be. And so, Father, we pray and we praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Vance. Just a reminder that we will continue our virtual worship at 10:30. Brother Vance will be again bringing our Sunday school lesson this morning from, I believe, Matthew chapter 5, the end of it, the end of Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon of the Mount, and then at 11:15, Lord willing, a message on the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was raised from the dead. God bless you. Hope that you will link in at those times. Have a great day. Thank you.